Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to start a new teaching series. It was something really that came to me while teaching. It was over a month ago, was that, on our Wednesday night, and I was teaching, and I made mention, I said this, and when I said it, I didn't intend to say it, but I knew it was by the Holy Spirit. I said, I'm going to start doing some teaching on sanctification. And when I said that, I thought, oh, that's news to me. I'm going to do that. I'm going to teach that. Okay, so I said it, and then so, and after that, in fact, that night, the Lord started dealing with me about this subject, and ever since then, He has been talking to me about this. And we're going to look at the subject. One of the things that God's been dealing with me a lot over the last couple years concerning, because we're living in this nation, and my heart's in this nation. This is where I live. And people here, this is where God has placed me. I've, you know, traveled overseas and done things and stuff. God has used me in that already and things. But is number one, I am concerned here in this area. And one of the things I've been concerned for a number of years, because I have watched the direction our nation has taken. I've watched the direction the church has taken. I've watched things and I've seen things going off base. I've seen things getting way out of line. And and it's very troubling to see it. And there's one thing is I've always, you know, like you folks know, I always like history. And especially in the areas of studying, I like to study things about history and things. But I've one of the subjects I've studied was the history of revival. I've done and looked and done studies on those areas. And I found this out that revivals run in patterns. You know, God don't change what He does. He doesn't come up. Our idea in the Bible says God's going to do a new thing. But you know, really, God doesn't do a new thing as we think of a new thing. It's new to us. But it's not new to Him. If you find in history, He's done many things the same ways before He's done it. He follows the same patterns. So as going looking over history, you know why revivals come? Because man gets to be a bunch of backslidden buzzards. And that's what happens, and that's why you don't need revival if people are walking with God. The reason we want revival is because people don't walk with God. And revival comes to the church. It doesn't come to the world. It comes to the church. And this is really is our need. The church gets off base. And it's always interesting because the church goes through times and periods of revivals, has great revivals, and then it goes back to its old ways eventually again, and people head back in through. But the most amazing thing that amazed me is the people who have gone through the revivals are the ones who turn back to go to the ways they were before. It amazes me. I've asked the Lord about it. What is wrong with us? What is the matter with humans that we, you know, God does a wonderful thing for us, and then we eventually go back over to our other stuff and our other things, and next thing you know, we're in the shape where, God, we need to move against something. And there's one thing about God is an initiator. That's what He does. If you have a draw in your heart toward God, I just want you to know this. It ain't because you're such a spiritual, wonderful person. It's because God is. He draws. That's what He does. Now, some people respond to it and some don't respond to it. But you know what? I found this over the years. Many of people who don't respond to the call of God, they have God's calling them and they know it. I've talked to people already and they sense in themselves, but they won't move toward it. They sense that draw with themselves, but they won't move toward it. God is always moving toward people. Understand this about the world and what's going on today. Don't be so critical. Like, because politics have made things ugly and both sides are filthy ugly. And it's just a bunch of fighting and people fighting and having groups fighting. A lot of people are in their situation today and they're all messed up and you think they're just squirted crazy. It's because inside they're troubled. Inside. Because, you know, God is trying to talk to people. And people are trying to move one direction or another direction. See, before I got born again, you know, I was good at living like hell. I knew how to do it, man. I tell you what, I could live like hell. Well, but you know, God started doing to me. The worst time I went through in my life is right before I got saved. Because God was dealing with me. And at the same time, my flesh is dominating and ruling me, and it made a miserable, tough time. God is trying to get me straightened out, and my flesh wants to live like hell, and it just, I mean, it's just a turmoil going on. Now see, people I worked with, they thought, you know, he's just getting worse. They didn't see that I was heading toward better. Most Christians can't tell when somebody's moving toward God, because they're moved by the flesh most of the time, and they always judge everything by the flesh. When I look in the world, I'll tell you, the world is primed today for a move of God. And I'm just going to speak to you. This is by the Spirit of God. The Lord told me this years ago, that this would happen in the end days. He said, many of the Christians won't walk with me in the last days, but he said, the ones that they talk about and criticize will come and love me and walk with me and follow me. You watch. I'm telling you, you watch. You watch. There's people on the outside today that people think will never come in. And I'm going to tell you what, when they come, they're going to love Jesus. And they're going to follow Jesus, and they will do anything for him. They'll go after him, and it'll make the religious people mad. The ones that thought they were so holy. The ones that thought they were so wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, God did that in me. It's just like, you know, and a guy I worked with came to me who was supposedly a Christian, and he said, boy, you're the last guy I ever thought would get saved. And I said, well, I know this. You never prayed for me. You wouldn't have prayed for anything. You thought there was a chance. He never even thought there was a chance. His God was this little weeny thing, you know, can only reach a good person. Hallelujah. I want to move a God that reaches all the bad people. That reaches all the ugly. Hallelujah. The hardest part God's going to have in this last day is to release the religious. It's always the hardest. Always. The religious are always the hardest to reach. Hallelujah. Because of self-righteousness. And we want to talk about sanctification. Sanctification, in lots of ways, is a very misunderstood subject. Is number one, it's not taught much. That's why we have such an unsanctified church in America today, because sanctification must be taught. So the Lord spoke to me about that. He said, sanctification has to be taught, he said, because people can't live it except by faith. It requires faith. Faith comes by hearing the word, and it's not taught. And so sanctification today is the whole idea in the church world, even among we call good groups and that stuff. We don't think there's a need for it. There's always a need for purification. There's always a need for walking a closer walk. There's always a need for it. We don't teach it. We're not sanctification isn't, I guess most churches, they think about sanctification. It's like, you know, don't go to church Sunday. Stay home. Wait till they're done teaching on sanctification. We'll go back because, you know, they look at sanctification as something destructive or something that puts you down. Well, it doesn't. I remember this. This is over 20 years ago. The Lord had been dealing with me about some things and teachings in the areas. I grew up under the Kenneth Hagin ministry. And his teaching on righteousness and things, and how beneficial that was to me to, you know, I was born and raised in religious stuff, real religious stuff, you know. And nobody was really good with God. You were all just scumbags. And if you got to heaven, it was because, you know, God was looking the other way or something. I don't know. And you were just, you know, this. And the teaching of righteousness is one thing, as I saw, is what it did. It revolutionized my life. You're trying, your whole point of this. We know from a scripture, we've been taught that righteousness is by faith. But then on the other side, there's another side of the coin. Even though I am righteous, I want to live a righteous life. So that requires some work. But there's one thing, as I found out, this. If you want to live a righteous life, you must understand righteousness. You must understand what you are. The Lord said to me, it was over 20 years ago, he said to me, most of my people live a lie. And I thought, what is this? He said, they don't live according to what they are. He said, they're portraying to people as if they're mostly like they are. And he said, they're not. Well, and I understood what he was trying to say. He wasn't doing it from a critical standpoint. People don't know who they are. You will always live and manifest in your life what you believe you are. See, if you're having trouble in the areas of dealing with living righteous and doing those kinds of things, if you're having trouble in the areas of sanctification, it isn't turn around and just let's make some more laws and rules. It's starting to get into the Word where you come to the place that you know who and what you really are. When you find out what you are, then you can live that. But you can't live what you don't know. And right now, the church in America can't live sanctification because they don't know nothing about it. They just think it's some rules and regulations. They think it's just those things. They have no idea of the power of God. When Paul wrote how people were going to be in the last days, and he said about they were going to be the lovers of themselves and all those kind of things, you know, that children were going to be disobedient to their parents, he talked about how people would get. He said at the end of that statement, he said they're going to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And see, I've heard people, you know, preach sermons on it saying, oh, he's talking about, you know, the people don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. That has nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with that. It's about the power of salvation. It's the power of the new birth. It's a power of a changed life. Right now, most Christians, and even I can take you to Spirit-filled churches, and they ain't got a clue about the power of the born-again life. It's all about getting stuff, this and that. They don't know the power of the born-again life. When I got born again, it transformed my life. It changed me. There was a power entered my life I never had and did not know before. I didn't know what it's like before. My wife. I changed. She came to Christ after me, and I asked her why she did it. She said, because I'm living with a different man. It's the power. See, we don't preach. See, John G. Lake said, you know, he preached he preached the strong man's gospel. See, we don't. American church preaches the weak man gospel. Get your sins forgiven. That's all you got out of the deal. Now it's just you're trying to get by. There's no such thing as a get by salvation with heaven. It doesn't have it. We have a salvation of power. Sanctification is power. Now, I've told you guys about it before. You know, when I was at Raymond in school, when one day the Lord told me I would attend prayer school when I could. One day I was going to attend prayer school, and the Lord said to me, I don't want you to go to prayer school today. He said, I want you to go out to a reservoir. There's a reservoir was almost 3 miles around it. I used to run that sometime, or that became my praying place too. I would walk out there and pray. And I'd walk around that reservoir. And he said, I want you to go out the reservoir. I want to talk to you today. And I'm not going to go the whole thing. It happened out there, but it was really, it happened something supernatural that I didn't expect. But when I went to leave, the Holy Spirit said to me, you can leave now. He said, you can go. Well, okay. Well, if, you know, God told him, might as well go. If God ain't in it, you might as well leave. Well, I went down and got in a car. And when I got in the car and started to drive out on the road, there's a presence came into the car, and I knew what it was. I knew it was Jesus. And that presence started coming in the car, and the first thing I wanted to do was jump out of the car. And all I can say is this, is that presence coming in, that holiness was so strong, I couldn't stand it. My flesh was in fear. I thought I was going to die. I literally thought I was going to die. His presence started to come into that car, and all I could think of at the time, holiness. It was just so holy and so pure. And see, your flesh, you need to understand, your flesh, you know, the people, you know, lots of times, you know, people fall under the power. I don't think we fall under the power because we're so spiritual. I think we fall under the power because we can't stand it. I just wanted to get out of that car because I really did think I was going to die. I did. I was scared. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, stop that. He wants to talk to you. But see, you get on the flesh. This is why, you know, you and I need a new body. We need a glorified body. We can only take so much. We can only handle so much. Now, there's one thing. This is why it is so important. Dealing with the subjects of righteousness and sanctification, holiness, all these things are so important. Because this has to do with our ability to be in the presence of God. To be able to stand it in His presence. You need to understand that. If you don't understand it, I'm going to tell you what, you'll do what I did. You'll react to the flesh. You'll draw away from it. It'll make you afraid. You don't understand it, it'll make you afraid. And see, we need to understand it. We need to understand what we're dealing with. You know, there's one thing I've learned over the years, and the Lord taught me over the years, I can stand a lot more power than I could when I started off. I can stand a lot more. I mean, power would come on me when I was a young Christian. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it was almost like, whew, do something with this thing, God. I don't, you know. But today, it's a totally different thing. You learn how. But it's learning the Word of God. It's learning to walk in the Word. It's learning to bring your flesh under in things. Learning to not have it open the door when the power of God comes and you come afraid you don't think you're good enough. You know, those things happen with people. And people many times draw away from the power of God. We want to be able to live in it. Sanctification is a wonderful subject. We want to talk about it. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there's words that are used for sanctification. But we're going to, you find out, if you look up these two words, the word for Hebrew is kodesh. And the word in the Greek is hagiadzo, and the two words are basically pretty much the same. They are translated many times through scriptures in different ways. They'll use the word to sanctify or sanctification, or sometimes the word is translated holiness. It's translated purify or purity. They'll use it in that sense. So you're looking, and when we talk about sanctification, this is what we're talking about. Now, the word sanctification, you'll find out one of the terms that is used for it is to set apart. It's number one, we need to understand, and really it's when we talk about holiness or we talk about purification or sanctification, we are talking about something that is set apart, something that's holy or something that's purified. It is set apart. Just like in the natural, you couldn't keep something pure and mix it with something else. It couldn't be pure. It's the same way sanctification, something that's set apart. And what we want to look at is this, is because God sets things apart to Him. They're for Him, and we need to understand this. We're going to start and look in the Old Testament. As we go on in this teaching, we're going to be teaching and looking at many things about the priesthood in the Old Testament, which are types and shadows, but we want to see them because the New Testament gives us the reality of those types and shadows, what the church is. And we need to understand, there's a lot of wonderful things from the standpoint of Scripture that gives us wonderful pictures about this, about us with sanctification and whether it's sanctification or we say being holy or being pure, you know, walking in purity, living a life that is set apart, because we need to understand these things. If we're going to turn to look at first at Exodus, I'm going to read from Exodus, the 28th chapter. Now, this is the New King James we're reading from. It's one of the things is I find really a lot is you have to go to the Hebrew and the Greek. I found this over the years is people many times translate and translations, whether you like it or not, we all do this. We deal with things according to what we know. You know, and so we put our flair on it, whatever it is. Well, I found out in translations, they many times translate things according to their belief, even though it isn't exactly right. They'll do that. We're not criticizing, I'm not criticizing them. Everybody will do that. I remember Kenneth Hagin, when I first got saved, he used to talk about reading the Bible with your religious colored glasses on. Well, you know, I used to have some really religious colored glasses. I'll tell you. You know, well, you're born and raised under religion. It's an ugly thing. What happened to this? I don't, even in among the Spirit-filled and charismatic, I went, you know, in the charismatic renewal days, I watched the stuff going on and that stuff, and a lot of people never got rid of their religious colored glasses. They took in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they kept their religion, and it tainted everything. It tainted stuff. You have to come to the point where you stop and say, hey, oh, ho, 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 ho. You know, mommy and dad were good, we love them and that kind of stuff, but you know, if they were wrong, they were wrong. This is what the Word says, let's follow the Word. Now in Exodus, the 28th chapter, starting, I'm just going to read the first two verses there, and we're just establishing something here. It says now, verse 1 says, now take Aaron, this is God speaking, take Aaron your brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Aaron's son, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, It says, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So we have here, God is doing something. God is separating these people, or he's sanctifying them for a certain purpose. There's a purpose that he's doing. And we want to say, what we find through the Bible, all through the Bible, if we look, and we will as we go along, we look at things concerning the temple and the things God established, that God set apart for his use, that God sanctified or made holy, and they were his, and they were only supposed to be used for the purpose that God gave them. And we're going to find out that in the New Testament, a lot of these things didn't change. God may change the way he did some things, but people and things, that what God has set apart is still set apart for his use. And many times, it ends up in misuse. But I understand why it happens, though. People aren't taught. They aren't taught. We don't separate today the holy and the unholy. It's not separated. Everything's together. Everything's tainted. And, it's just like with me. People call me old school because you get over and you believe the Bible from a literal standpoint. Now you're old school. And I'm old school. Hey, just let me alone. I'm having a good time. Don't bother. You ain't getting nowhere talking to me about some other way. Go after whatever you're doing. Just let me alone. And, cause you know what? I found this way works. I've been doing it now for over 40 years and it's been working fine. When somebody doing it the other way and it works as good as it's working for me, let me know. But they never do. I get calls in the middle of the night from those people after they go that way for 10 years and it don't work, and then they want you to pray and fix their mess up for the past 10 years. You know, pray and change this thing. Wave your magic wand over me. I don't have a magic wand. I ain't Harry Potter. I don't have one. No, there's no magic to this thing. It's about following the Word of God. You do what it works. Hallelujah. Well, in that same chapter, if you read down through, which we won't, God is establishing what he's doing in setting these ones apart. But I want to see you here from this one. Down in verses 40, I'm going to read verses 40 through 43, and it says, for Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them. You shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. You shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. Now you see this, he's setting them apart for a certain use, and it's certain ones that he is setting apart. Not everybody's in this. It's certain ones. We find Aaron and his sons, so it's a family thing. This is about a family thing that God's doing. See, there's always purpose in this, and you'll find out. These are types and shadows. We're going to find out God does. And it said, you shall make for them, it says, linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from their waist to their thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come in the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. So in other words, God has established a priesthood. Now this priesthood following what God says we have here is really important, because they could end up dead if they don't. Now I want to tell you, we go over, we have taught about this before. That's what happened over with the church at Corinth. They had many weak sick among them. They are not, they didn't take the holy. God put the communion elements in the church, and it's just like today. They're not treated holy. They're not treated set apart for the sinner. You can go to church and be any old scumbag or whatever you want, and they'll give you communion. People are taking death to themselves. Taking the holy that are set apart for God's people, for set apart for them and people. And Christian, they just don't pay no attention to it. We just go through the ritual. That's what they were doing at Corinth. Many were sick, weak and sick, died prematurely. See, the church acts like this stuff don't go on. It isn't because God's mad at anybody. People are killing themselves. What he's trying to do to the church, because there's great power in these things. It's a wonderful thing to be set apart by God. God set things apart for us for our blessing. Why would we take the blessing and use it in a way as a curse on ourselves. Why would we do that? But see, the church does it. There's things, you know, if we understand the place in what we're in, and we're going to talk about that, I want us to turn to Peter because we need to discuss these things as the church. Now we see over here there is Aaron. There's a priesthood that was established by God. Now that priesthood was under Aaron. It was under the Levites. It was the Levitical priesthood. Now that priesthood was started by God. You could not be in the priesthood unless you were born into it. You had to be born into it. It wasn't something you just got. Well, we need to understand this and understand about the Church of Jesus Christ. See, we have left the revelation that the Church of Jesus Christ is a separate group of people in this earth. We're not trying to act like we're better than somebody else, but I'm just going to tell you, in God's eyes we are, so get over it. You know, people are so touchy today. Well, who do you think you are? I think I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. I'm God's kid. And if you aren't born again, you're not. And it ain't to be mean or nasty. It's the downright truth. We like to preach those things because, oh, we want to have a seeker-friendly where the sinner don't ever feel like he's guilty of sin. I'm going to tell you what. I was downright scumbag guilty of sin. And when I recognized that fact, that sin was going to destroy me for eternity, I made a change. Had I not found that out, I'd have never changed. Worse, the church is helping people go to hell. It's working at it. Being nice. Why do we think God's word's bad? Why do we think, you know, I should feel guilty when I sin? I shouldn't feel good. I shouldn't feel good till I repent. Then I can feel good. But, see, we get over this thing like it's bad. We have all this nutty stuff. The world stuff is dominating in the church and the world's thinking, and we got to bring it back. The Word of God must be preached like it is so its power can change a life. The gospel that we call stuff is preached today, there's not enough of power in it for a guy to blow his nose, much less have a changed life. You know, you just need your sins forgiven. No, you don't. You need a changed life. If you're not going to have a changed life, forget it. You'll end up in hell the same direction you were going to begin with. You need a changed life, and we need to understand this. So when we're going to look at Peter, Peter is talking to believers. These are people with the changed life. These are people who have been born into the kingdom of God. That's who this letter is to. This letter is not to the world. It's not some. It is Peter is writing to believers, and he's writing to Hebrew believers. And so we need to understand these are Jewish believers who came to Christ and came into the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter's writing them in 1 Peter, the second chapter. I'm going to break in it at verse 4 in reading here. This will help you. It says, at verse 4 says, coming to him who is as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, precious. Now, he says, you also. Now, he's talking to believers. So you can say, this, he's talking to me. He's talking to you. He says, you also as living stones. Jesus is a living stone. You, through believing in him, you are a living stone also. He is the head, you're the body. He isn't one thing and we're another. We became living stones when we got born again. Do you ever notice how many people want to reject you because you're a living stone? Just like they wanted to reject him as the living stone. They don't like it. You know, I didn't like all them living stones. When the Christians showed up when I was a sinner, I didn't like that. Now he says, what are you doing? Are being built up. You're being built up to a spiritual house. This stones is being built to a spiritual house. Now this is what he says, a holy priesthood. You see, you have been born into a priesthood. Here he says it's a holy priesthood. It is a set apart priesthood. It is a sanctified priesthood. God has set it apart. You have been set. There, see, we think about, you know, priests and stuff and things like that. People get in their mind ministry gifts. This is not ministry gifts. Every believer is a priest of God. Every believer is in the priesthood. Everyone. You see, when religions turn around and they make people priests and all that kind of stuff, what they do is they set certain people are designated, and the rest of them, you're not in the class. They're in this special class. See, they got this special class. No, I'm sorry. Every believer entered the priesthood the day they got born again. They're priests of God. Every believer. See, you're a priest of God. You've been set apart. Now, you need to understand this. If you don't walk in light of it, and this is where a lot of Christians miss it. See, I didn't start walking in the power and things of God when I got in the ministry. I had been doing that in the priesthood before I ever got into the ministry. Before I ever got in the ministry, demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost would operate through me because I was in the priesthood. I'm in the priesthood. See, you got to get it out of your mind. Thank God there's gifts and things that operate through me because of a calling that I have. But the priesthood, everybody's in. You're all in the priesthood. We need to get that thoughts within ourselves. We are separated by God to Him. You have been separated. God chose. You got born again. The point of getting born again is to separate you from what the world was to bring you to what God is. You can't get into the kingdom without separation. You can't come to the kingdom. You got to get born into it. You got to be separated. When you got born again, your new nature, your inner man got born again. It no longer has the sin nature. You can't get into the kingdom of God with a sin nature. You can't do it. You have to change natures. And we change nature. If we would do this, there must be a type of spiritual DNA that God has because of the fact of DNA is created from in the physical side. You don't have nothing over in the spiritual side. Don't show up over here on this side. It has to be over there first. So it's like the same thing. You have spiritual DNA. It would be God's DNA. That's what you have. Your spiritual DNA is just like your daddy, like God. That's your spiritual DNA. Jesus can't be a high priest and you not be a priest. You're in the same family. That's an impossibility. You have to be a priest. You can't be in the body and not be one and say, me and Jesus are one. No, you're not. The priesthood was separated and it fell in the family line. Last I checked, I'm in the family line. Hallelujah. I'm in the family line. So therefore, I have to be in the priesthood. I gotta be. You're called to the priesthood. That's what we are set apart to. We're build up to this spiritual household, the priesthood. What is this? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, it is also continued in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, now he's talking about you, so we could say today, you who believe, we're here, we feel it, we believe, says, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, so in other words, the ones who haven't accepted him, they're called the disobedient. See, you'd never say that in a secret friendly. See, they say, no, God loves you, God accepts you the way you are. Biggest lie that any preacher ever said out of his mouth. God did not accept me the way I was. I had to change or I'd end up in hell. I had to change. See, we need to... He calls him here the disobedient. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, why? Being disobedient to the word which they also were appointed. They were appointed the word. It was for them. It was so they could be saved. But they didn't accept it. They became disobedient to the word. We need to let people know. To get to heaven, you got to be obedient to the word. You're going to have to believe what the Bible says. But the Bible says you have to do to be saved. That's what you're going to have to do to be saved. To go against it is disobedience to the word. I found this out in my own personal life. Disobedience to the word ain't good. Never worked out well for me. Now, I know none of you ever did that. That's why you're looking at me like, oh, how could he do that? All of you just were real good, right? We all found out what disobedience can do, and disobedience has cost. Now, isn't God out getting you? It's just a matter of reaping what you sow. You do the wrong thing, you end up with the wrong thing. Wasn't God was out to get you? He was always merciful and kind to me and said, come on, let's get up and get back in line. Come on. You know, it's always good. Hallelujah. Now look what he says. Now here's what you got. This is Peter writing here. Look what he says to these believers. But he said, but you, now you're different, see, you're the believers, but you are a chosen generation. Now, really, from a translation standpoint, that's very poor because it doesn't give us the idea of what it really says. You're a chosen generation. That word generation there is a word that you'll find that's going to be translated and said nation here later in the same verse. It's the same word. That word is an interesting word that is used because it is a word that is used in the scriptures. You have to interpret it according to where it's being used and how it's being used. And this word is a word many times translated nations, but when it talks about nations, it can talk about also is translated Gentile. In other words, this word used concerning nations. Now he's writing to Jews and he says, you're a chosen generation. Here they translate. He said, you're a chosen nation. What he said, this word cannot be used for the Jewish nation. In other words, he's telling them this word means non-Jewish. He just told them they weren't Jewish anymore. The church ain't Jewish, folks. The church ain't Jewish. We are a chosen nation. We are a separated nation. We're a people separated, totally different to all nations on the earth. We are a totally different people. We are a separate nation. This is what he says. You're a royal priesthood. Now we're going to talk about that, the royal priesthood. Where does that come from? See, people say those things, but they have to come from somewhere in Scripture that identifies this. Because we can't look, this is one thing, you cannot look over at the priesthood of Aaron and find a royal priesthood. There is none there. But we have to have a royal priesthood. Biblically, it has to be a sound, it has to be a doctrine that's so in the Scripture for us to have it. You know, we run around and say a lot of things from scriptures and don't have any clue how it ever got there. That's good. But it's always better to understand and know. Because I'll tell you what, the devil will come and challenge you. He'll come and tell you, you know, Peter probably drank too much wine at the meal, you know, and he said that he was writing a letter and the kids were carrying on and something and he wrote something down or his wife told him to shut up, sit down, Peter. And he, you know, something happened and he mistakenly wrote that, you know. No, he didn't make a mistake. He said, you're a royal priesthood. And what are you? Here's this word again. You're a holy nation. A holy non-Jewish nation. A holy nation. A different nation. Some translations call it a tribe or whatever else. But we're a group of people set apart specifically by God. There is no other group in the world who is a royal priesthood. There is no other group. None. Does not exist. We're the only ones that this exists. So we need to understand it. We're the only ones. And God had been dealing with me about it. But let's go over the book of Hebrews to the seventh chapter. Hebrews the seventh chapter. I want to read to you. We're going to talk about Melchizedek here a little bit. Because we want to go over here and look at this. This is the importance of it because of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The priesthood. Now, we could go through numbers of things here reading through from 6 and 7 and especially Hebrews is a wonderful to read through concerning the priesthood. It's a wonderful revelation about Jesus Christ and his ministry in the priesthood. But I want you to see something. First, the seventh chapter. Now remember this. The Bible was not written in chapters and verses. And when Hebrews was written, they didn't have these headings in these certain places. You know, the writer wasn't sitting down and saying, now here we're changing the subject. Because between 6 and 7, the subject has never changed. It hasn't changed from the 5th chapter. And I just want to encourage you in this. One of the problems we have today in the church world is really people teach many things out of their context. Even though they're good, sometimes people say, oh, they're good. But when you really see something in its context, there's a revelation that you'll get is much deeper an understanding of what God's saying than just pulling something. People too much pulling just about, well, we want to use this scripture just to do this or that scripture. Sometimes God will lead you to do that. But I want to tell you what, you better know the Bible in its context, what it's talking about. Years ago, the Lord told me one time, He said, I want you to start reading the letters of the church. He said, I want you to read them without going through any of the things. Don't look at verses. Don't look at chapters. Read it like it's a letter written to you. Just sit down and read it. I was amazed how much revelation I got. I was amazed how many things people taught wrong. Good people meant well, but they missed the whole context of what God was trying to say. And I thought, I missed it right along with them because I hadn't been, I've been doing what they were doing. This is a wonderful book. It is a wonderful book. And God, the Lord said this to me. He said, do you think I had them write letters and that stuff that they had to sit down and try to figure out what on earth this guy trying to say? I said, well, they sort of teach it to us that way. Like, what's this guy trying to say? But anyway, I'm going to pick up the last two verses of the sixth chapter because we're talking about Melchizedek and the ministry. But you're going to see something here that will really help you. In verse 19 of the sixth verse, it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus became high priest of an order. And it was the Melchizedek order. That's what he became, of that order. Now it says the next chapter starts, but it's just a continuation. It says the word for, or because of what was just said. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Who was he? He was a king and a priest. He was a royal priesthood. He was a king and a priest of God. That's who he was. Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. So, sort of gives an idea. What's Peter talking about? Peter talks about royal priesthood. We're talking about the same thing. It's the same thing. This is where the royal priesthood comes from. Because this is the priesthood we're in. We're in the one that Jesus is in. We were born into. See, God says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. You see, you're a continual priest. For eternity, you're a priest of God. For eternity. See, that priesthood, that's where the priesthood, if Jesus entered that priesthood, you are in the priesthood of Melchizedek. Jesus couldn't be in the order of Melchizedek and you not. By being born again, you entered through birth to the same priesthood. The priesthood of Melchizedek. See, we look at Jesus. You know, the church does too little today. I was so thankful back when I came in the kingdom because there was a lot of teaching in those days about identification of yourself in Christ Jesus. And today we don't do as much of that. There's not as much identification teaching. People want to know who Jesus is and they talk about how wonderful He is, but they don't see themselves as He is. Your faith counts on that. Because He'll always be so great and you'll be the dirty dog. You got to see yourself. Your faith needs to see yourself in the light of Him. If you don't. See, people don't see themselves in Him. That's why the people just grovel around, you know, pleading with God, trying to get God to do things. They don't see themselves in the light. They don't see themselves in the priesthood. See, the Bible teaches us, you know, we inherited what He inherited. That's hard for people to believe. If you don't teach those things in the Word and get them into people, the fact, you know, we have been given an inheritance. We're not trying to get it. I've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why am I asking God to bless me? Why ain't I just receiving the blessing? Why are you acting like he already gave it? Why am I chasing after? The Lord said to me this years ago. He said, my people are, he said, in a sense, he said, it almost like drives him crazy. He said, they're always trying to get what is already theirs. They're trying to get what already belongs to them. You see, you're in the priesthood. That's why you can go to God. In Jesus, that's why you can walk right to the Father. That's why you can go right into the presence of God. Because of who you are and what you are. You have been born into the order of the Melchizedek priesthood. An eternal priesthood. Hallelujah. It's not guided by the life and death of a person. Hallelujah. It's an eternal priesthood that you entered, born again, because you have the nature of God, just like Jesus. That's why you're going to have a body just like His, because you're made of just what He's made of. You are, He's made you what He is. That's what you've become. The church ain't some second-class citizens going to heaven. We're not somebody down there. We're not trying to grovel around a throne to try to get something. We're supposed to be seated in heavenly places, knowing who we are. But the priests didn't grovel. They didn't do that when they went into the temple to minister. They didn't do that. They couldn't go do that. You went and did that, you probably end up dead. You didn't go in and act like you didn't belong there. Now you need to understand this when it comes going to God. See, we have today a lot of nonsense taught in the church world. We talk to sinners like, well, you just go pray and talk to God. He'll answer you. No, He won't. You know, in the priesthood, in the temple, only the priests went in the temple. The people never did. I don't care how beautiful that temple was on the inside. They never saw it. They never got into the presence of God. The priests were the only one allowed in that place. You know where they got to? They got to that bloody place where the altar was, and they got to smell all that burning flesh and all that stinking blood. That's where they got to. You know, I had to come by that altar when I got saved. My stinking flesh. I had to come past that one. Hallelujah. But when I got born again, I got to go inside. All these nutty Christians today, you know, they want the Jews to build a temple so they can go to it. Crazy bunch of people. Hallelujah. But see, we need to take our place. We need to understand. We go directly to God. That's why we pray. That's why Jesus said, it told the disciples on the night that He was going to be crucified, what was going to happen. He said, you know, you're not going to have to ask me anything. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. You're going to be able to go right to His face. You're going to be able to walk right into Dad yourself. You don't want to got to get somebody. You don't have to go ask Mary to go ask Jesus to go ask your cousin Harry to go ask somebody else. Go ask this person, that person. Maybe get God. Maybe we'd hold God down, twist His arm good. Maybe we'll get Him to give me something. What do you want to do? You know, people try. We don't have to do none of that. To the believer who just walks into the door of the kingdom, just gets born, he has every much his right to go to the Father and ask anything in the name of Jesus and get it. Why? Because he's a priest of God. And the priest has the right. The priest has the right. The priest has to go right into the face of God. Hallelujah. Oh, in the old temple they didn't. My words, they tied a rope around the leg of the dude that just carried blood in to put it on the mercy seat. And then we get this. We get this under the order of Melchizedek, the priesthood. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. In other words, when you mess up, that's what mercy's for. It ain't because you did anything good. You don't need mercy when you do good. You ugly. That's when you need the mercy. That's when you run in. And he said, come boldly. He said, you want to tie a rope around your leg? He's going to pull you dead out from the presence of God. Hallelujah. And then today we have these knuckleheads and they printing books on grace. You don't have to repent anymore. You know, just keep walking around and sinning because grace just takes care of everything. Just robbing believers, opening the door for the devil to destroy people's lives. Call themselves ministers. Have no love for the people. They have love of the flesh. The grace of our God says, man, when you mess up, run to me. Run to me. No matter what you did, run to me. Come to me. Hallelujah. I'll give you grace to get out of the nonsense you just did. I'll help you. Hallelujah. He didn't say, no, just forget it. Go ahead. Have a good time. It'll all be all right. Boy, hasn't it turned out all right for our nation? See, the church has to come back to repentance. Kenneth Hagin's prophecy. America's got its last call going. Last call. And the only thing he said to save America is repentance. I'm not calling for the nation's repentance. I'm calling for the church to repent. Because if the church don't repent, there's no call to the nation. That's why I'm tired of these people yelling about Christians, yelling about the political people. They're 90% of the problem. They are, not the political people. We need to turn. We need to be the ones that say, hey, stop, Lord. What do I need to do to change God? What do I need to do? Tell me. You know, I throw rocks at everybody else. And I found that out. That ain't doing no good. Back over to Peter again. So I hope you see this. I hope that's a blessing to you. But you see the order of priesthood that you're in. See, you need to identify with Jesus Christ. You need to identify with Him. You're in the same. You're in a royal priesthood. That's what you're in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're in this eternal priesthood that God has put you in. Now, back over in verse 9 there again, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, it says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's that same word, nation. He said, His own special people. Now that word, their special people, really is the idea of that word is really, now there's some other translation did special, but really the idea of the word is something that somebody bought, somebody paid for, it belongs to them. Somebody has. See, you're God's people, that's what you are. God purchased you. You know, some people don't like that idea of purchase, but you know what? God found you so valuable, He'd pay for you. You know? He'd pay for you. Think about it. God would pay for us. And boy, didn't He with a price? Didn't God pay a price for us? What drew Him to it? It's the love of God. The love of God drew Him to pay for us. Hallelujah. That's the people. That's the people. That's special, isn't it? He said that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now people. Now just a minute. Those people in disobedience, God don't consider them a people. They're not a people. See, I wasn't a person. I wasn't a people till I came to Jesus. And then I became one. I wasn't a people. Hallelujah. But now you're the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained it. See, God wants to show mercy on the disobedient, but they haven't obtained it. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ, we took the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Now listen to what He says. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, like you're in this earth, you're down here, you're just on a trip through. This ain't your place, folks. Your home is Zion, the city of Zion. Hebrews tells you that. That's our home. That's our place. That's our home. Do you know the church, when the new heaven and new earth, Zion is going to come down and sit on the earth. That's the church's house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, it says, beloved, I beg you as sojourner, abstain from fleshly lusts, which what? War against the soul. See, your mind, will, and emotions, boy, I'll tell you what, don't it? We've been teaching on, fighting the good fight of faith. That's the fight right there. It's the warring against the soul, dealing with the flesh. That's the fight in the earth. That's what we deal with. That's the fight that's going on. It says, now listen to this. Here's an important verse. God gave this to me, this verse. This is an important verse. Why He put this in after saying that? He says, stay away from these fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Why? Now listen. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. This is that word nations. Now it's used here in the idea of speaking the heathen, the unbeliever. That's what its idea is. Now listen to what it says. Having your conduct honorable among them, this, that when they speak against you as evildoers. Now listen, they say you're an evildoer. He said, by your good works which they observe. Now see, they'll call your good works. They don't call them good works. We're living in the days where evil's called good and good's called evil. But listen, there's a move of God. And you want to win people to Jesus? He's going to tell you what you need to start doing right now if you want to win people in a move of God. Listen to what he says. He says that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You need to understand visitation. See, Jesus talked about visitation. Jesus and his visitation to Israel when he came into the earth and was born in the earth, his ministry. Remember, on the day he was, you know, they're all cheering. The king's coming to town. The king's coming. Oh, yeah, he's riding his donkey. They're all excited. But Jesus went and pronounced a judgment on Jerusalem. And why? Because he said, you don't know the time of your visitation. See, there was a visitation of God. We have here told what to do before visitation time. Get our act together. Walking, don't be walking like the world. Don't be identified with the world. Be identified with Christ. Walk right. Don't walk like the world does. So when the visitation comes, they can stop and say, hey, you know what? They're walking like the visitation. There's people. Hey, this is in line with the visitation. See, right now, we need to understand this. God's been trying to prepare the church. And the church keeps yelling about, we want to do something about the world. That isn't where it's getting fixed. The church is what reaches the world. The church gets fixed. It is natural for it to reach the world. That's natural for it to do. The church needs to come to the place. The church, we need to break ourselves away from, there's so much in the church world, the thinking of the world is in the church world. Acting and doing things out just like trying to, you know, we're just trying to let them know we're really interested and we love them. No, we're supposed to show them how much we love God. They need to learn that I love God more than I love any of them. They need to know that he's number one on the back. They're not. You need to learn that your life shouldn't be number one to you. His life should. You see, look what Jesus said about things. He said, you know, if you love me, he said, you're going to take up my cross and you're going to follow me. That's if you love me. He said, you know, you ain't even worth having me if you love somebody else more than you love me. You're not even worth having me. That's the things that Jesus said. Oh, they're preached all the time in the church today. Boy, you just get them right out there. I mean, my God. You know, see, I read those things. I got to repent. I want you to understand this, though. I want you to get a picture. You can't sit around and judge yourself by the flesh all the time, because I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to end up so messed up. You won't be able to believe God. You're just going to want to go home. See, man, I'll never make it here. Jesus, take me now. You know, you need to understand. If you want to have success in Christianity, you need to know what you really are on the inside. This is what people don't know today. The church has gotten so fleshly, it can't hear itself on the inside. It can't identify, it can't contact itself with what it really is. It doesn't see the glory. It doesn't see itself set apart in a priesthood. It doesn't see itself of the position that it has in Christ Jesus. It can't see itself. It just looks on the outside. It's full of the outside. There's a weakening of faith. Oh, I've never seen such a weakening of faith. I mean, I know pastors and other ministers I've known and other ministries and stuff over the years. And when I stop at some of these people, I mean, good friends over the years and where they're walking today, I stop and I think, man, what happened? What went wrong? These people were, I mean, they walked with God. And today, you know, they can hardly believe God for a thing. They've lost it. They got over, you know, and there's things you don't want to touch. But, you know, one of the things that I learned, if I don't touch things that touch me, there won't be any change. It has to touch me. You know, it isn't preaching to somebody else, you change. It's preaching, we change. We have to change. There is such a desperate need for a move of God in America. There is no other fix. Donald Trump is not the success of America. People got to get this thing fixed in their mind. America, you know what? Didn't it work out just so great? I mean, it just worked out really nice, didn't it? Why? You got all this fighting. And so, there's only one thing that can change, and is a move of God. But I want to tell you this. With a move of God, we're going to see a lot of stuff. You're going to see people, mind's going to be blown how there'll be people who won't pay any attention to the move of God at all. You'd think, well, they'd want something. But on the other hand, there's going to be people going to flood concerning the move of God. I've seen these things years ago. The Lord showed me. I've seen these things. We're living in a day and time. But you know what? See, it doesn't matter what negative stuff and things have happened. That doesn't matter. That doesn't move me. That don't change me. There's a move of God. There is a move of God, and I must walk toward that. I can't spend my time over who won't and who don't. I can't spend my time there. I got to spend my time of who will or who wants to. That's where you gotta walk in that place. You can't listen. You listen too much of the negative stuff and what they're talking about going on. You listen to too much. It depresses you. You gotta keep yourself focused on the Word of God. There is a day of visitation. And that day of visitation is here. That day of visitation. God moves me. I'll tell you what, I've stepped back into things concerning the anointings of God on my life I haven't seen for years. There's a move of God going on. There's things happening. God is speaking. People that can't hear God talking, I feel so bad for them. Dear Lord, you can't hear God. Well, there's one reason you won't. You keep listening to the noise of the world. You keep listening to the noise of politics. You just keep listening to the noise of that stuff. Now, I'm not against those people. I want to see them come to Christ too. But I can't listen to them. There's too many voices. And there's too many that are insignificant. But we've made them significant. And you do it by what you spend your time listening to. Don't listen to it. There's a move of God. You're a priest. I'm going to tell you, we can stand before God. There's no other group in this earth can do it. There's no other religion can do it, can stand in the face of God and intercede for a world. There isn't one. We're the only ones that can do it. We're the only priesthood who has a right to do it by God Himself. That we can stand on, that He's called us and separated us to this purpose. That's us. We can bring change. Don't you listen to the knuckleheads. People's acting like, well, this ain't going to change. I'm going to tell you what, hang around and watch. I'll tell you what, though, people will stand up and get in the face of God and you'll see things change and wish you'd have been a part of it. I'm just going to stay in the face of God. I'm allowed to. He should have never told me to come if He didn't want me there. I'm going to get in His face. No, He put us in there to do that, is to get into His face. He is looking for someone who desires and wants things to change. Somebody who something's more important than, you know, whatever else people think's important. Whatever's what God wants. I want to know what God wants. If He has a plan, show me what you want. That's what we'll set ourselves for. And we'll move for that. We'll want that more than anything else. We're the priesthood. There's nobody else He's going to go to. We're the ones. Hallelujah. You're the kings and the priests. We've, in the church world, we've used the kingship and the priesthood to get a lot of natural stuff. Now, God ain't in against people being blessed and living blessed lives. He's not against that. But we haven't used it for the important things. We haven't used it for the important things. You know, a few years ago, Lord, God was dealing with me, you know, about some things. And you just, Lord, yep, we need to change some things. Our view of things. How we see things. See, we're priests. God set us apart for this. Think about that. You might sit here and people out here in this world and whatever your status people have in this world. I'm going to tell you, we're the most important people in this earth. The church is the most important thing in this earth. Don't matter what thing or somebody thinks you have. I'm going to tell you what. The President of the United States is a heathen, and I'd sure like to see him get saved. I'd hate to see him go off and go to hell. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm more important than he is. I have a place of authority that's far above his. I have a place in the presence of God he cannot go. His Lord got kicked out of the place where I go. But see, Christians are basically run by Washington and by governments. Christians are not governing. Hallelujah. That's a good word there, folks. Christians need to begin to govern. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know, I done preach me happy. See, this sanctification stuff ain't ugly, is it? No. When you find out what you are, and I tell you, we have much more wonderful things to talk about. Wonderful things about the church. And we look at these things, I want to tell you what, you'll stop and say, my God, I want to change. I want to step into this thing. I want to live this separated life. I want to do something with this. It makes you want to go there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I'm going to tell you what, you'll have to fight the good fight of faith because your flesh will carry on. You'll have to drag it along and beat it every once in a while to make it do. But I want to tell you what, you will have the power to do it. We have the power. We're not trying to get it. We got it. Hallelujah. We're the church with the power and glory of God. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning, Lord God. I'm so thankful for your kindness and mercy to speak to us. I thank you for your kindness and mercy that, Lord God, you're just opening, unfolding your word. And Father, your word is a delight. It is wonderful. It is glorious and it's so good. And Father God, I want to thank you for having such great patience with us. Being so patient and kind. Lord God, Father, if I'd have been in your position, I'd have probably threw the American church under the bus a long time ago. But you didn't. Thank you. That's why you're God and I'm not. Hallelujah. And I want to say thank you, Lord God, for being so merciful to us and being long-suffering. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, I'd have threw me under the bus. But Lord God, you just kept picking me up along the way. You kept compelling me and speaking to me along the way. Just kept encouraging me. You kept talking me to bring me to the place you wanted me. Hallelujah. You're absolutely sensational. You're absolutely wonderful. And we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness to minister to us today. Father, I believe light has fallen upon hearts today. Lord God, I believe hearts are open. Hearts have heard. Hallelujah. I thank you they've been strengthened. They've been built up on the inside. Father God, Father, in these things, as we teach these things, I ask personally, Lord God, for wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Because, Lord God, these are wonderful, precious things in your word. They're glorious things. Lord God, oh, that can change a people and change a nation. And Father God, we want to bring them out in the fullness of the glory that you have had these apostles write these things and say these things. We want to bring them out in the same glory and in the same power. Father, and I want to thank you. We're not going to be disappointed at this. Hallelujah. Father, we're going out today. We're being supercharged Christians, supercharged fathers and supercharged mothers. Hallelujah. The supercharged people, Lord God. Hallelujah. Taking our place. Father, not fearful of the future, but Lord God, looking ahead with great hope and courage, Lord God, to what's coming on the horizon. And Lord God, we see it that day when Jesus, our Lord, will show up in the clouds. Hallelujah. And we'll be caught up together with him. Father, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to run this race in this season, in this time. Lord God, I want to thank you for the visitation of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that's coming forth in this earth. And I thank you that it's going to be a visitation that's going to explode. Hallelujah. In nations of this earth. Lord God, I thank you an opening of the power of God. I thank you, Lord God, there shall be many who will come from afar, come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, who will call on the name of Jesus Christ, who will devote themselves wholly and fully to you. A separated people. Hallelujah. A glorious people, a church of glory, hallelujah, that you have called for. And Father God, I thank you that I can get to be a part of this, hallelujah. Thank you for giving us a place and a place in this time. Thank you for anointing us. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for the power of the Holy Ghost that rests upon us. Father, I thank you for demonstration, manifestation of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus that will manifest and operate through us and demonstrate demonstrate through us, Lord God, to reveal the glory to God, who those who have not seen nor known its glory. Hallelujah. Bakotina na koshite boremembre diska galakete geshia taha boregid geshenon membereto velged geshina na ka alaka tu de feseka hayatuchima donia larago desheliata. Yeah, and I have called you out for this time, and I've called you for this day. I have anointed you, says the Lord, because you're mine. I am the one who has paid for you and not another. You are mine, says the Lord, and I am jealous of you. I long to walk with you. I long to reveal myself to you. I long to show my power and my glory through you. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You've drawn back some sometimes. Sometimes you've moved away. It's because you haven't known or understand things, but in these last days, I will call you forth in power, and I will bring you forth, and we will walk together face to face, and I will reveal my glory through you. Yes, yes, and people will know that there is a God in heaven. Yes, and many will be prepared and ready in that day, and many will know, because my visitation will go through with power, for I do have a people in this day and hour who have not bowed their knee. There's a people who have not turned away. There's a people who are mine, says the Lord, and I will exalt them, and they shall be exalted. Exalted. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being so kind. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for showing your love to your people. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And they are your people. Glory to God. They're your people. You called them out. Hallelujah. And you will use them. Use them gloriously, gloriously, gloriously. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Can I have the two of you come up? Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of God just keeps showing me you too. Hallelujah. God has plans. God has plans and purposes. You know, sometimes a step, sometimes you may wonder. You think, well, you know, we have sometimes, I know I did. Yeah, Lord. You see things, and you know, as things goes along, sometimes they don't always seem to be turning out the way that you seem. But don't be worried or don't be concerned about none of that. Don't worry. God has set things in motion. Just take the steps. See, right now you're walking in the steps as God has set before you. That's all you need to do. Don't worry about tomorrow. Hallelujah. Just follow the steps you know now. That's the faith walk. Many people want to have all the plans ahead. Well, I've seen plans ahead, and all they've done is confuse me sometimes. Because I get in my mind thinking how those things are going to work out. Hallelujah. But the walk of faith is you just take your steps, and you're taking steps now. Just walk in the steps in the will of God. Hallelujah. He knows within your heart. He knows your desires, and He's put things in you. And you, there's things in you that you want to accomplish, and you want to accomplish for the kingdom, and you will. You will. He will bring them to pass. He will do them. He'll carry them out there in you. You don't have to bring them to pass. If you walk by faith, they will come to pass. They will come to pass. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus for your plans and your purposes. Lord God, you're so good and you're kind. Lord, you've set things in motion for them. And Lord God, these things have been established before they ever knew one another. These things have been established and set forth by you. And this day and time, you set them apart for your purpose. And Lord God, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. They shall fulfill it. They shall walk in it and do it in these days. And glory will be revealed. And oh, they will rejoice much, for they will be used. For Lord God, that is their desire and their plan. And you will show yourself forth in them, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, all that's in them that they have planted in, and so all this period of time, Lord God, it will be used and will come forth. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified, and they will stand in that place of anointing that you called them to, for that place you have given to them and not given to another. And we thank you, Father God, you will do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Blessings to you. God bless you. God bless you, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Michael, I want to pray for you. It came to me by the Spirit concerning, hallelujah. The ministry, glory God, hallelujah. You're going to be ministering. It just came up to me to pray for you, the things that God's put in you, that they'll be brought out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For a strong anointing, Lord God, the Holy Spirit working mightily. Hallelujah. The things He desires to, Lord God, that you're showing Him to bring out, that those things will come forth. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that He doesn't have to be concerned or worried. Hallelujah. For the anointing will bring it forth in greater measure than the mind understands or knows. Hallelujah. Because on the inside, the message is already on the inside. The message has come forth, and the anointing shall bring it forth with power. Hallelujah. And understanding and clarity will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it will be great rejoicing, and you will enjoy. You will enjoy. Hallelujah. You will rejoice. You will rejoice in the work of the Lord in you and through you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you love your people. You love your people. Your care and concern for your people. Your love for them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, if there's anything else you want to do, we sure want to cooperate with you. We want to cooperate with whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. I don't know. We stepped into something this morning here. I don't know. I don't know where this is all going to go, but I'll tell you what. Sometimes you just know. You step into things and you... There's things in the Spirit the Lord's been dealing with me about, areas of the Spirit, hallelujah, that God's opened up for the church, not just for us here, but opened up for the church to step into. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things sometimes have to be pushed to go into. Sometimes things just, it's like today, it just seemed like I just stepped through a door. I don't know, it's like I stepped through a door today. Hallelujah. It's nice when that happens. You don't have to push so much, but it probably is because of doing other pushing and other things. But you get to step into them. But we've stepped into some things. There's things, oh my God of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm really anxious to see what all is going to take place. Hallelujah and happen. Father, we just want to thank you today, Lord, as we go from here. Lord God, families are celebrating the Father's Day. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful, and especially, Lord God, godly fathers. For Lord God, I just want to thank you for, I had a father, Lord God, and I know this, that he did love you with all his heart. And I want to thank you. I know where he's at today. He's with you. Hallelujah. And I am looking for the day, Lord God, when I get to see my dad again. Hallelujah. Looking for that day. And Father God, I just want to thank you. I thank you for bringing us into the kingdom. I thank you, Lord God, for revealing light to us, that somebody who loved Jesus before we did came to us. Somebody preached to us. Somebody told us. And I want to thank you, Lord God, how kind you are. Lord God, how much I appreciate those who have walked before me. The ones, Lord God, I want to thank you for all those who over the years taught me, over the years put the word into me. How thankful I am, Lord God, that there's always been a people who have walked and walked with you close and followed you. And Lord God, they pass things on that are so invaluable. Lord God, that you just, what you could never put a price tag on these wonderful things. And I thank you, Father God, they passed them on to us, and we're going to cherish these things. We're going to take these things and treat them as being valuable and precious. These truths that we were given. And Lord God, thank you. Lord, we could not walk today where we are if somebody hadn't laid foundations in us. There's revelations we would have never stepped into or known had not people faithfully put foundations in us. And thank you, Lord God. I thank you for glory being revealed. Thank you for visitation. Thank you for a glorious week, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for all that you're going to accomplish and do in this nation, in this land, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.